inside quickly, all of you.
They're getting closer.
Close the door, child. Sisters, now listen to me, all of you. We shall be safe here. These marauders must surely respect this place and our cloth.
We ought to escape. There's still time.
I have given my decision.
I want to get my brother away from here.
You're under my protection. I can't allow the risk.
Risk? The risk for me is here. I have no habit to sanctify my body.
I can't let you go alone. Hilaria, come here. Quickly. The three of you will still be able to slip away. Go with God.
We can all go. There's still time.
No, our place is here. Go.
You have no business here. This is a house of peace.
The Virgin in the Ice by Ellis Peters. Dramatized by Bert Cools, with Sir Michael Horden as the narrator, Philip Maddock as Brother Cadvile, and Douglas Hodge as Hugh Beringer. Episode 1, Casualties of War.
It was early in November of the year 1139 that the tide of civil war rose suddenly to sweep over the city of Worcester. King Stephen held, however slackly, most of England, while his rival, the Empress Maud, held the West, and their armies tore at each other and tore the land between them. Worcester now lay desolate and gutted at the hands of Stephen's enemies, and those of its people who could had fled for their lives. They burrowed into hiding wherever there was manor or priory, town or castle, true to the king, and strong enough to afford them shelter.
They're still arriving, more each day.
How are you coping?
The hospice is full. Some of the sick are sleeping on the floor.
Any serious cases?
4 burials so far. But all past their 70s. Most of them need no more than good food and sound sleep. God be praised.
Amen to that.
A stranger to the Abbey of St. Peter and St. Paul in Shrewsbury might have thought them an ill-matched pair. The elderly, black-gowned Benedictine monk, and the young deputy sheriff. But the friendship of Brother Cadvile and Hugh Beringer was founded on grounds deeper and firmer than mere age and station.
What's the news from Worcester?
The king's on his way there with an army. I dare say most of your guests will be back home before the Christmas feast.
Well, they need new stocks of food. Their reserves will be taken by the enemy. What they can't carry, they'll be foul.
You think so?
I know it.
Brother Cadvile had been both soldier and sailor in his young days, and seen service afar, but was content now with his lot. Cadvile found nothing strange in his wide-ranging career, had forgotten nothing, and regretted nothing.
Thank you. Now I must be about my business.
Ah, you'll be busy just now. The sheriff's spending the nativity off in the north, I hear.
Is there anything you don't hear? Yes, the rule of law is in my hands.
Wait, Hugh. Now this is for Aileen. It's a herbal wine, an old Syrian recipe, with a few additions of my own. Warming and nourishing both for her and the child.
Any more of your bruise inside him and my son will be born full grown.
No, you've decided it's a son of you.
Well, so my lady informs me. And thank you, my friend.
A new life to counter so much death.
Spring in midwinter.
Now, what could be more welcome?
Brothers, brothers, our brother, sub-prior Herward of Worcester, has come to us with an errand. Herward.
Thank you, Father Abbot. I am sent to make inquiry after 2 noble children, a boy and his sister, who were in Benedictine care in our town and fled from it when the attack fell upon us. We have traced their steps as far as the borders of this county, and there we lost them.
Are we to understand, Father, these children left the city alone?
We feel ourselves greatly to blame in having failed in our charge, but no, they were not alone. One of our sister nuns, tutor to the girl, was with them. She, too, is now missing.
It may be that these three found their way to us. Brother Dennis, it is your task to know every soul who passes our gates.
I grieve to say it, but they surely never arrived here.
There's been much confusion. Could they have been among the sick or wounded? Cadvile?
No, Father. Two children and a nun who have not passed notice.
The girl in particular is most striking. Raven black of hair, tall and proud. Did any of your patients speak of seeing such a person?
Not in my hearing.
Did any present hear such words spoken? Perhaps if we had a more detailed description.
Yes. The girl is Lady Ermina Hugonin, almost 18 years of age. Her brother is called Ives. He is 14. They are orphaned of both parents, and their uncle is their guardian, a knight by the name of Lawrence d'Angers. He has long been overseas in the Holy Land, entrusting the children to us, and now has returned to be met with this news.
Your pardon, Father, but if this uncle is now back in England, why isn't he pursuing this inquiry in person?
If he's the head of a noble family and a crusader besides, the authorities would help him all they can.
No, brother, they would not. He has declared his allegiance to the Empress and is therefore the sworn enemy of His Majesty the King and all who are loyal to the throne. He cannot set foot in Shropshire on pain of death.
Is it certain that they were heading for Shrewsbury?
It is, Father Abbot. I felt sure that Sister Hilaria would bring them here.
Well, perhaps they know of some kinsman or tenant or old servant in the town. They may well be safe.
Pray God that they are.
Our next move must be to consult the sheriff, or rather his deputy.
But they are the king's men, both. Why should they assist an enemy?
Hugh Beringer is known for a fair and worthy man. He will help you all he can.
No, it can't be done.
Master Beringer, all I ask is that this man be given leave to enter the king's lands unarmed and search for his niece and nephew without hindrance.
No. I can issue no safe conduct.
My lord, Sir Lawrence d'Angers is a man with many enemies. Some of them would not scruple to attack him by harming these children. If they are recognized...
The girl is particularly vulnerable, and the boy is a mere child. Are they to be left unsought?
Did I say so? Of course they must be sought, but by my own men. And if found, they shall be delivered safe to their uncle's care. I shall send orders to all my castellans and officers. These names and descriptions seem quite clear. Is there anything else that could usefully be added? Anything that might help identify them?
The girl.
Yes, Father?
She is reported quick of mind and wit and of strong will.
I'll mention it.
And beyond that...
Yes?
She would be reckoned very beautiful.
Oh, he said so, did he? Well, even sub-priors of eyes.
Willful daring and handsome. It adds to her danger.
Well, for all we know, they may be snug and safe somewhere close by. They'll be found in no time and given over to this guardian of theirs.
A man bears a good name for all he's against the king. I suppose he'll be too recent in the service to be known to you.
Oh, it's another generation, lad. It's 26 years since I left the Holy Land. Everything will be changed there now. Which port did he sail from?
Tripoli. Oh. Hereward.
It was St. Simeon I favoured myself. There were good craftsmen in the shipyards there.
Yes, and Antioch, just a few miles upriver, where a certain dark-skinned young widow worked in the market.
In the street of the sailmakers. I was 18 when I arrived there. 18.
And 33 when you left. And the beautiful Mariam graced both your arrival and your departure, as I recall the tale.
She did. And I don't repent of it. Love shared is no sin. And this is no place for such reminiscing. Don't you have a city to run and order to keep?
No, not tonight. My sergeant's in charge, and I'm going home. To my own bed for once. Even if I am banished from my wife's by my own heir. And the brat not even born yet. But what would you know about such tribulations?
What indeed? Do you have my sympathy? I shall say a prayer for you.
Good night, Cadwell.
No starring, Betty.
As the deputy sheriff walked away into the failing darkness, Cadwell felt on his face the first flakes of the first snow of the winter. The air was full of a drifting unease. But the fall was light and fitful here. Further south, it set in heavily, shrouding outlines and burying paths. Valleys became treacherous. Hillsides were scoured clean. Wise men stayed within their houses and barred both shutter and door.
Open up! Open up in the name of heaven!
They can't hear us.
I'll break the door down if need be. Open up!
Oh, thank the Lord.
Who's abroad in this hour? What do you want? Let us in, for God's sake. This man needs help. God in heaven. Inside. Quickly, inside.
Ah, Cadwell.
Father Abbott.
Thank you for coming so promptly. Your duties permitted it.
Well, the hospice is practically bare, thank God. Most of the refugees are away home again now.
I'm pleased to hear you say so. This is Master Terry Smithson.
Good day, brother. God be with you, friend.
Master Smithson is travelling north. He brings word from Bromfield Priory.
Bromfield?
Aye.
How is Prior Leonard?
In good health, God be praised. He sends you his greeting. Oh. And also a message, Master Smithson.
My lord. In the night just past, brother, some decent fellows brought in a wounded man to Bromfield. They found him by the wayside, stripped and hacked and left for dead. Oh. And half dead he is, and his case very bad.
Footpads praying on the road, so near to Ludlow.
Aye, and the poor man, a monk himself.
What are things come to there in the south?
Prior Leonard asked, would I bring word here to you? This calls for skills of healing beyond any man there.
Take a good horse from the stables. You have leave for as long as may be necessary.
Cadwell!
Leonard!
Yep. Thank God you could come. I have provision made for you and a meal waiting.
First, let me see him.
He has been cruelly treated. Stabbed to the heart and beaten too.
Let me look at him.
Can you help him, Cadwell?
In health, this must be a fine man. Well made and not old. That may prove his salvation.
He's deadly cold, though. We can't seem to warm him, whatever we do.
You've covered him well, but it's not enough. Lay stones over the hob in your kitchen. Get them hot, and then wrap them in flannel. We'll pack him round with warmth and change them as they cool.
I'll see to it.
I don't think there are any bones snapped. Have you been able to get any food or drink into him at all?
We've tried, but he can't swallow.
His mouth is broken. Fists or cudgels from the bruising. And three or four men did this. Two held his arms, and the others laid into him.
His head was matted with blood. We were terrified that his skull was broken.
Oh, no, I don't think so, no. His wits will have been shaken up into confusion, but his skull is whole. There's no break.
Praise be to God.
Oh, this is welcome fare.
Never was food more richly deserved. Here.
Thank you. This man, is he of this house?
Didn't I tell you? Well, I had to send the message in great haste. No, he's a brother from Persia Abbey. He came here on an errand, delivering a relic, the finger bone of a saint.
Now, you've grown somewhat careless with your guests, Leonard.
He was well provided for his journey back when he left us.
When was that?
First light the day before yesterday. He was found that same night, the night of the first snows. A tenant of ours was out after a stray sheep and found the poor soul about 2 o'clock. He carried him here. It wasn't far, thank the Lord.
18 hours gone, but he was no more than a short walk away. What do you know of him?
His name is Elias. Not long in the cloister, I think, though he wasn't anxious to speak about himself.
Did he seem concerned or troubled about anything when he left?
Troubled? Well, now you call it to mind, yes, he did. I had forgotten.
God go with you, Brother Elias. My thanks for your task well done. Brother, is something wrong?
There's snow in those clouds. Your pardon, Father. I was thinking of some travellers I met on my path here. From Worcester, I think they said.
Were they heading for us? We've had no other visitors.
I thought then that the weather was worsening. I urged them to come here, but they'd have none of it. They were pushing on, come what may.
Not a long journey, I hope.
Long enough. They were bound for Shrewsbury, and over the hills, too, by way of Foxwood and Cleeton.
Not by the road?
No. I should have brought them here with me. But the girl was resolute, and she called the tune.
Leonard, their leader was a girl, a resolute, headstrong girl.
I believe those were his words.
Well, did he mention a boy and a nun with them? How many were in this party?
Well, he told me no more than I've said.
My friend, have you had no proclamation from the deputy sheriff? Two young things lost from Worcester in the company of a nun.
I don't recall such a message. I have had much to concern me of late.
If it were them, when he left here, could he have gone back to seek them?
Cadfire?
He could have found them. He could have found them and been bringing them back here. And if he was, then when he was attacked, he was in their company.
Off you go, lad. I'll stay with him.
He's warmer now, I think, but his breathing still racks him, and he hasn't moved at all.
That's to be expected. This is not normal sleep. This is something far deeper.
But isn't there anything more we can do?
Yes, there is. We can trust to his own strength and to God's. What we have started, he will finish. Now go. We'll speak again in the morning.
Thank you, brother.
Good night.
Good night.
Now, friend Elias, what secrets are you holding in that battered head of yours?
Brother Cadfael was long accustomed to sleeping with one eye open and both ears. On his low stool beside the bed, arms folded, head lowered, he drowsed.
Do you mind?
Madness. Madness.
Easy. Easy now. Come on.
Madness. So young. The boy would have come with me.
The boy. So I was right. May God protect them.
He has spoken. What did he say?
Enough to convince me that it was the missing pair and their nun he met and feared for. Now, I'll not quit him while he needs me, but we must get word to Hugh Bellinger in Shrewsbury.
I'll see to it. You go and get some rest.
I can rest at the bedside.
Cadfael, you need proper sleep and refreshment, too. Brother Matthew will fetch you if anything else befalls.
Does anybody wait a couple of minutes? I sent for Father Pryor to stay with him, and I came straight away for you.
Good lad. Has he spoken again?
Not really. He's very weak. I don't think he knows where he is.
Brother Elias, can you hear me?
Who are you, brother? What place is this?
Do you know me, Elias?
Father Pryor.
You are safe in Bromfield.
Bromfield. I had an errand. The relic.
It's safe. You brought it safely.
It's pain. What happened to me? How am I come to this?
Well, perhaps some other event from your journey home will help you remember. Did you meet the young pair again? The girl and the boy.
What girl and boy were these?
You spoke with them on your way to us.
On my path here?
And a nun. Do you remember the nun who travelled with them?
A nun? No. I can't remember. I can't remember at all. Have I failed in some charge? Father Pryor. Brother.
Rest now.
How can I rest?
You must. Your part was well done. You need not fear. Rest in that knowledge.
They tended his needs, anointed his wounds, prayed with him and for him. But still Brother Elias's memories fled him and would not be snared. His body rallied and healed, but his mind wandered and shunned remembrance. As soon as Cadwyl could safely leave his patient in the hands of others, he mounted his horse and journeyed northeast to the settlement of Godstow.
I'm sorry, brother. We would have sent word to Shrewsbury straight away.
You knew they were sought for, Master Steward.
Lord Beringer's proclamation. Besides, you're not the first to come asking.
A young woman and a boy. Gently. Travelling with a nun. Have you seen them?
Did you know this man?
I didn't know him. And I didn't want to know him. He was all muffled up against the weather. But what I saw of his face... And he had a voice like the very devil. If I'd had them under my own roof, I'd not have breathed a word of it to him.
But you've not seen them at all?
No, brother.
It's known they meant to cross the hills to Shrewsbury by way of Foxwood and Cleeton. This village should have been next.
So I would say. But they never reached here.
Any attempt to work further backwards along the traveller's path would have to wait for another day. This one was already too far spent. Cadwyl, mindful both of the weather and of the dangers, abandoned the slow, winding roads and made his way back towards Bromfield directly across country as the sunlight dimmed. After a mile, he was in Clee Forest. Lonely country this, and wild. And he was surprised to encounter a clearing carved out amidst the trees, a narrow garden and a small field about a low cottage. As he approached, a sturdy husbandman turned from tending his few goats and spread his solid bulk across the gateway of his home like a portcullis.
God bless the holding and the holder.
God be with ye, brother. Whither bound?
To Bromfield, friend. Am I going right?
Aye. Keep on as you are. In a half mile, you come to a brook. Cross it and bear left. When the path forks, bear right.
My thanks. Now help me with another matter, if you can.
Huh?
I'm seeking some people, a young girl and a younger boy, in the company of a nun of my order.
Not come my way. Why should they? I'm on the path to nowhere.
Well, if they should appear... Give them the word that they are sought.
Yeah? Who wants to find them?
All the shire, and the abbeys of Worcester and Shrewsbury. They shall have safe escort wherever they would go. Tell them, if you meet with them.
I will so say, if ever I do.
God be with you.
When Cadwyl reached the shelter of the trees and turned to look back, the man had vanished. He rode on, but at a slow, ambling walk, and once well out of sight, halted and sat quietly, waiting.
You can come into the open. I am no threat to you or any. He told you true.
His name is Thurston. He and his wife have been good to me. He said I could trust you. He told me you've been looking for us.
Oh, he said truly. For you, I think, must be Ives Hugonin.
Yes, I am. May I come with you to Bromfield?
You may. And be sure of a warm welcome. Where are your sister and her governess?
I don't know. But I think that Sister Hilaria is safe at a village called Cleeton.
She allowed you to go on without her?
No, of course not. This is all my sister's fault.
But calm down now and tell me clearly.
We were at Cleeton, all three of us. My sister went off in the middle of the night. I tried to follow her, or to bring her back. But then the snow came and I got lost in the forest.
Come up here with me. Give me your hand, lad. Oh, good. Now... let's get you home before night falls.
The first floating flakes of new snow drifted languidly on the air as they came to the brook and crossed it on solid ice. Cadwal was leading the horse, watching his foothold as he crossed, and thus his eye caught, for a moment only, the ghostly pallor beneath the frozen surface. He was slow to recognize, slower to believe what he had seen.
How do you want to know? Ives, wait here a moment. No better. Move the horse a few paces further on, so the ground's more secure. Yeah, take the rein.
What's the matter?
Just something I noticed back there. I'll not be a moment.
It was not a lamb, as he had briefly imagined it might be. It was longer, more shapely, slender and white. A pale, pearly oval stared up at him with open eyes. Stripped and violated and slaughtered, Ermina Hugonin was at once both found and lost.
The Virgin in the Ice was written by Ellis Peters and dramatised for radio by Bert Cools. The narrator was Sir Michael Horden. Brother Cadwal was played by Philip Maddock, Hugh Beringer by Douglas Hodge, Leonard by Leonard Fenton, Olivier by Rad Rawi, Ermina by Moira Buffini, Ives by Dean Magri, Elias by Crispin Letts, Rodolphus by John Church. Other parts were played by John Church, David Holt, Jonathan Taffler, Eric Allen, Steve Hodson, Anne Windsor, and Julian Ryan Tutt. The music was by Peter Salem and the New London Consort. The producer was Phil Clark.